Please be seated. Our second scripture this morning also comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I just want to take this time quickly to thank you so much, James, for being here. What a pleasure. It was really, really fun and an honor to work with you on this. I think we think of history so much in Cranberry, and especially at this church as well. And I think first we think of David Brainerd or Aaron Burr or George Washington, but we never get a full picture of what our history of this town and this community really means. If you go back and think about what it meant to be a community in the 1800s, we miss a whole part of our reality. So thank you, James, again, for bringing this to us. And of course, thank you, Gene and Don, for bringing this to life in song. And we get to really experience the power of this. You can really feel where our tradition really plays a role here, and it's really powerful. So thank you so much for bringing this together. The Song of Moses is widely regarded as one of the earliest compositions in the Old Testament. Maybe the earliest, it's hard to be exact, but when I first heard this, it wasn't surprising to me at all. Music in some form has always been one of the building blocks of humanity, especially when coupled with religion. There was recently, maybe 15, 20 years ago, they discovered these flutes in a cave in Germany. And they discovered them in the same layer of sediment that they found these religious figurines. There's a really great documentary about it called Cave of Forgotten Dreams. If you get a chance, check it out. It's really fantastic. But they found these flutes, and they dated them to 40,000 BCE. That's 37,000 years before the Exodus. So we have this record of instruments with some of the first religious iconography as well. At its genesis, humanity has turned to music as a means to channel emotions, a means of reaching out to God, a means to pray, to worship, to praise, to reach something that is other than ourselves. Music has developed and changed through millennia, but at its core, in its most basic building blocks, it is a means of expression. It is a medium in which we can express emotions. Emotions that could not be expressed in words alone. And despite what you think of modern music and music today, there still is that concept of basic human emotions that need something more to make them powerful and real. Today, especially, I think we've heard and felt just how moving and powerful the human voice can be. When we raise our voices together, or when we appreciate the stark and harrowing beauty of simplicity and raw emotion. The songs that we have heard and have sung together have been moving and beautiful, but they are about so much more than simply trying to elicit an emotional response. Lou introduced the bulletin, and James introduced the most recent song we sang, but I encourage you to read through each of the songs that are in your bulletin. There's fantastic information in there. These songs are full of deeper meanings. They inspire and are a means to praise, but in a much more real sense, they are tools of freedom. Many of the songs that we will sing today contain hidden messages that only slaves would have understood, so that they could sing them out loud, pass them along. Only they would know how to interpret them. These messages would lead them to freedom. They would tell them who to trust, when and where to travel, ways to stay hidden. They're not simply songs of joy, songs of hardship. They are songs of life. These are literally songs that would keep them alive. When faced with an event of power, a transforming moment, a moment of urgency, what better way to process and translate that moment into words than through song? Whether it is starting the journey to freedom, whether it's meeting Harriet Tubman, or whether it's finally reaching the Ohio River and knowing that you are free. The Israelite people, too, shared this in common. They shared this reaction to a moment of freedom. They could raise their voices in song as they witnessed their moment of deliverance, their moment of salvation from the Egyptians. They raise up their voice in exaltation. The Song of Moses probably didn't sound anything like what I read when it was first uttered. It was an explosive event, raw emotion. It cannot be contained in words alone. I imagine it as a joyous outburst of song, just thousands upon thousands of voices raised up. The Song of Moses is truly an outpouring of the Israelite soul. We get a rare glimpse at the chosen nation of Israel at its birth. Pharaoh's enslavement of the Israelites is the first time the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph are actually referred to as a people, the Israelite people. The first reference comes in Exodus chapter 1, verse 9, which Mary read for us. But they are called Israelites a second time, and this time it is at the beginning of their freedom. And this is in the Song of Moses, Exodus 15, verse 13. It is this experience, the exodus out of Egypt, the exodus into freedom. It's this moment of crossing the Red Sea. This is the moment that creates them as God's people. The crossing of the sea not only signifies their freedom, but their recreation. In the 10 plagues, so I'm going back a little bit here in Exodus. In the 10 plagues, we see this huge confrontation between Yahweh and Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh would have been seen as a god king, almost seen as divine by the people he ruled. So this huge conflagration between God and Pharaoh, these powers, these supernatural occurrences that God is working, these are anti-creations. God is throwing the world back into chaos, back into darkness. The known creation is being destroyed right in front of everyone's eyes. It is then only in the Exodus, in the crossing of the Red Sea, which happens on dry ground, that they are recreated, not as a people enslaved, but as a people belonging to God. Now, this phrase, on dry ground, is of extreme importance here. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, on the third day, God created the dry ground. Now, this phrase is not used very often in the Pentateuch, only in reference to the Israelites as they are traveling through the Red Sea on dry ground. Just as God created the dry ground, God parts the Red Sea and the people cross over on dry ground. And they come out as the nation of Israel, recreated. The event at the sea is an ending. It is the ending of the Israelite slavery, but it is also, and more importantly, a beginning. The beginning of the Israelite relationship with God. And it's this relationship that will come to define not just the Israelite people, but it will go on to define the New Testament understanding of God at work in Christ. It is in this way that Exodus can be clearly understood and seen as one of the most important books of the Bible. Its implications reverberate throughout the New Testament. Exodus is the foundational salvific act of God in all of Scripture, providing the root metaphor not only for Israel's subsequent life with God, but for the Christian relationship with Christ. the crossing of the Red Sea, this moment of recreation preceded God's covenant to the Israelites. This is an extremely important distinction, and it lies at the heart of our Christian faith. Israel was delivered from slavery. They were set free. They were recreated as a brand new people, a brand new life they had. And all of this happens before the covenant with God, before God chooses them as his treasured possession, before the Israelites promise to obey God in return. The Israelites did nothing to earn this salvation. It is given to them beforehand, freely, as grace. Indeed, the power of human history may best be understood through song. There's something about a history book that can make any event seem detached and maybe a little stale. But when we tap into the cultural outpouring of a people, when we hear their unified voices lifted up in protest or in praise, we can feel history itself. We can feel it move. We can feel it shift and change. The songs we sang today, once sung to spread a message of safety, we lift them up in remembrance as a tribute to those who were persecuted, to those who suffered, to those who persevered. Today we learned about our history, our community as it was 100, 200, 300 years ago. Many of us are probably a little surprised. It seems foreign today if you look around to think of Cranberry or its even surrounding towns as ever being hubs of slavery. And maybe we don't see anything like this in Cranberry anymore. But we don't have to look far outside of Cranberry's borders before we see the truth. Just as the Egyptians enslaved the Israelites, so too African Americans experienced and are still experiencing oppression at the hands of white pharaohs. It surrounds us on all sides. We see it every day in the news. We see it in Ferguson. We see it in New York. We see it in our workplace. We see it in our schools. We see it in the unjust taking of black lives. And while Cranberry may be a haven for us, what is our response? In the movie Selma, which is out now, the theme song, which is by Common and John Legend, asks the audience, "Is Selma now?" What should our response be? The Song of Moses tells us something far more important than specifics. It doesn't tell us specifically who Pharaoh is, or where the Israelites crossed the sea. What matters for Exodus ultimately is that the Lord saved Israel. At the sea, Israel learns something about who I am will be. Yahweh is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. And most importantly, Yahweh chose his people. Yahweh chose us before we did anything. We are his. Knowing this, we can be confident that even in the face of a Selma today, even in the ugly face of oppression, God is with us. And as a unified people, in response to oppression, in response to Pharaoh, we can and we must raise our voices together, tapping into the raw power and emotion. We can be a living testament to the truth that God, through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, is freedom for each and every one of us. This truth can't be taken away. It can only be strengthened and realized and shared. Shared through song, shared through testimony, shared through faith. Amen.